Okay, today we are blessed to have with us an amazing family from Spokane, Washington, and we are blessed to have Trevor and Heidi Seaman and their kids, three of their kids, Isaac, Destiny, and Justice. If you could all stand. Turn around, show them how good looking you are. Isaac is 17, are you 17? And he's single, so. The other two are a little too young yet, but just letting you know he's available. He's kind of romantic. We watched a movie last night. He was so into it. It was great. It was awesome. Okay, with that in mind, let me just say I love this family. They are a hoot. They're like being with my own kids, and they're one of the best families I know. So their last name is Seaman, so I wanted to look up, what does a seaman do? This is what I found. He serves as a helmsman in steering the boat or a ship. He makes sure the lookouts are in their right place. He repairs, maintains, stows equipment in preparation for the operations that go on. Stands security watches while the boat's in port and underway. He operates sound powered telephone systems and communications. And this man, that also is, I think, representative of prayer and communication. He serves in damage control, emergency, and security. If you knew him like I do, that is what he's done for 19 years. Until last year, he served Craig and Moni Lotz for 19 years as their second man. And then he took over as the lead pastor a year ago. We are so blessed because he is a servant leader, one of the best I know, not only in the Northwest, maybe in the world. And I just think we are so blessed to have a man of God like his caliber come today. So would you stand and give him a Harbor City Church welcome? We are so blessed to have him.
All right, good morning, and thank you for emphasizing our last name, a name I choose not to try and emphasize. There is a lot of life in that name. There is. So, hey, what an honor, really just an honor and privilege to be here in this house. We love Pastor Doug and Lois so much. You know, like he said, 19 years being at our church, and but the caliber of leaders that Doug and Lois are, Pastor Doug and Lois, if God had not planted us at Victory Faith, we would have loved to have been planted here with them because of their leadership, true mom and dad in the faith. So we love them, and so much fun hanging out together. Pastor Jimmy and Jess, we've gotten to know you guys over the last 3 years. Love you guys, love your hearts, and it's just an honor to be here in this house to see what God's doing in this season. And there's so many things that are stirring as I was praying over the church. There's like, I have 50 directions I would love to go and to preach, but I felt like it would be best to be a blessing to be able to speak specifically into this season that you are in coming up in 3 months of generational transfer between Pastor Doug and Lois to Pastor Jimmy. And we have just walked that out as a church. And I think there's some things we learned along the way. And I remember distinctly about a year ago, November 12th was our day where the passing of the baton happened between Pastor Craig and Moni, who had led the church for 33 years faithfully. And I remember just standing on the stage in front of our people. Our elders were there and the prophets were there. And it was just this beautiful, marked moment of, one, looking back and honoring Pastor Craig and Moni and honoring the history of the church and honoring the legacy and the stories and what God had done. And then equally them turning and giving honor to the next generation to step forward into what God has to move the church forward. And it was just a beautiful moment, probably one that our church will never forget. We had never done that before in the history of our church. And just a moment that was so dear to my heart. Probably a moment I won't forget because right near the end, Pastor Craig gave me a hug, and then he pulled back, and it was like slow motion. He leaned in, and he gave me this big, fat smooch right on the side of my cheek. And I'm like, what just happened? I'm like, I just got kissed by a man in church publicly. We were live streaming that. And I'm like, I'm a hugger. Like, I have grown to be a hugger, but that invaded every personal boundary ever in my life. So please, after service, do not kiss me. But you want to know, honestly, it was such a precious moment because it's a father and a son, and it was awesome. And I can attest to you, because I feel like we walked out that season so well, about 2 years leading up to that moment, the church is thriving. We are growing, things are happening, and I believe it's the blessing of the Lord that comes when a church does transition, you call it repositioning, leadership succession, when a church does that well, I believe there's so much blessing. So I want to look at two examples in the scripture. The first one out of Joshua chapter 3, where leadership transition was done so well. And the context is that Moses has passed away. And Moses fulfilled everything that God had intended for him to do. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, led them for 40 years in the wilderness. And Moses has died. And God comes to Joshua, who is the next generation leader. And in chapter 1, he says to Joshua, he says three times at least, I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous because I've called you to lead these people. And he gives this promise. He says, Joshua, I am just like I was with Moses, so I am going to be with you. And I want you to lead these people into the next season of life. And so Joshua chapter 3, we pick it up. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites, they set out from Shittim and they went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. Notice these words. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and you are to follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Why? Because since you have not been this way before, you haven't been this way before, I'm taking you into a land that you have not seen. You don't know the roads. You don't know the hills. You don't know the people that are living there. You don't know the cities. You don't know what's in front of you. But here was the encouragement by the word of the Lord that came to Joshua, and Joshua then sent it to the people. Here's what we know we can do. Make sure you follow the ark, which was the presence of the Lord. In this next season, you've not been here before. And one of the keys is, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Make sure you follow my presence. Make sure your eyes are on me in this season. Make sure you don't try and lead these people with some human, clever idea, some little trick that you pull out from your back pocket that doesn't come from God, but comes from yourself. Make sure you try to do the very thing that Moses did. He was a man of the presence. And Joshua, I've marked you to be the same, to be a man of my presence. It will be my presence that will go before you and lead you and guide you. And we see this about Moses' life in Exodus chapter 40. It says, in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud, which represented the presence of the Lord, whenever the cloud would lift above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and a fire came and appeared in the cloud by night in the sight of the Israelites during all of those travels. This was what led Moses and the Israelites all through their journey. It was the presence of the Lord in a physical sign above them. They could look up, and that's where their eyes were to be. More than being on Moses, their eyes were to be on the Lord. More than being on Joshua, their eyes were to be on the Lord. And the physical sign, we see the presence of the Lord. And it says, if the presence of the Lord was not moving, then they were to stay in that place. But as soon as the cloud moved, it said move. As soon as the cloud moved, it said follow the clouds. Follow my presence. Moses was a man of the presence of the Lord. Moses cried out I mean, Moses had heard the audible voice of God. He'd encountered so many miracles, but the cry of his heart in Exodus 33 was, God, show me your glory. You're like, show me your glory. You've seen more glory than anybody in the earth. What do you mean, show me your glory? He was a man of the presence of the Lord. He said, God, don't, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't even try and lead me. I'm not going to go unless your presence goes. And when the cloud would lift and the cloud would move, the leader and the people were to follow the cloud. And here's our human tendency. Our human tendency is that we follow God to a certain place, maybe like where you are at as a church, and we love it, and it's good, and God's here, and it's happening, and everything's good. But the cloud begins to move into a different season. We're like, but we don't want a different season. We like this season. This season's been awesome, and I want to stay here, and I want to stay camped here, and we can. But if we stay here and the cloud leaves, then we are now where God once was, but is no longer. It is so possible in life as a church and individually. It is so easy to try and live in yesterday's encounter with God, yesterday's miracles with God. And what God was saying was, I want to lead my church into the more. I want to lead my people into the more of who I am. This is what has brought Harbor City Church to the place that it is today. Because back in 2007, with a dream in their heart, after getting their butt kicked once in the city, they came back to the city at the word of the Lord to build a church. And guess what? There was a whole bunch of unpredictability, a whole bunch of, we're not sure how this is going to work out. A whole bunch of, we're not quite sure how this season's going to unfold, but we know that God is with us. And so they began, Pastor Doug and Lois began to pioneer the church and began to build the church. And they didn't see everything. They just were following the cloud and following the presence and building how God would say to build. And that's what's brought you to this place. Years and years of faithful following the presence of the Lord, doing what God says to do, saying what God says to say, people coming, people going, people being getting saved, people getting discipled, people coming against the church, people standing with the church, people saying positive things, people saying negative things, and the faithfulness and the endurance and the consistency of your pastors to build this church in different buildings, remodeling buildings, all of it, but it unfolded as they went. And that's what he's saying to Joshua. He's saying, Moses led like that. And like I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What has brought you to this place as a church is the same thing that is going to take you into the next season. A season that is different than this one. You're about to do what this church has never done. It's going to be a historical moment of a generational transfer of leadership to the next generation. And I believe it's the very thing that hell itself fears because of the blessing that comes through the honor of the passing of the baton from one generation to the next. In January of this year, the Lord gave me a prophetic word. I just prophesied into my phone for about 20 minutes. And it was a word for the church at large, our church, but the wider body of Christ. And I pulled out an excerpt that the Lord highlighted for me to deliver to Harbor City Church. I believe this is the word of the Lord over you right now in this season. Amen. God says, you will ask and I will answer. And I will answer quickly. This is a season of quick prayers and answered prayers quickly. And there is a great divine interruption that is coming to my people in this season. A great divine interruption, and you must be aware so that you will allow me to disrupt your day and disrupt your plan, because you will suddenly feel the wind shift in a direction. And when the wind shifts, you need to shift and you need to go with it. And the patterned way that my people, so many of my people have been living their lives, so accustomed and so used to their routine, God says, you need to be careful that you don't lose me in the midst of the routine. That you perceive when I break to the left and when I break to the right and when I pause. See, God says, I'm doing a new thing, something you have longed for, something you have yearned for, something you have prayed for, something you have believed for, and this is the hour of a great outpouring of my spirit. This is the season of brand new wine, new wineskins coming to my people to contain this new wine. And as long as the jars keep coming, the Lord says the oil will flow. God says, bring the people like jars before me with hunger and with expectation. And for everyone that desires and hungers and pursues, there is oil that will flow, oil that they have longed for, oil that they have longed for. And it will continue as long as the people come and as long as there is hunger and as long as there is desire. With God, there is a lot of uncertainty because we don't necessarily see all of the next steps. We see as much as God shows us, but our human tendency is like, but I want to see it all. I want to see the plan. I want to know it. But oftentimes our walk of faith is one step at a time, and God shows us just enough to keep us moving. And we face this thing called uncertainty. And uncertainty goes against everything in our humanness. We don't like uncertainty. We don't like change. We would rather have things be the same, and we would rather have things be quite predictable. In fact, Tim Ferriss said this, I love this quote, people would rather be unhappy than uncertain. They would rather say, I don't like where we're at, but it's predictable and it's routine and it's mundane. They would rather have that than to launch out into something that's uncertain. We don't like to do uncertain. We like predictable over here. That's our human tendency. Neuroscience, the study of the brain, has showed that when uncertainty, when we face uncertainty, it registers in our brain like an error code. And then the brain says, we need to deal with the uncertainty and get rid of this so that we feel comfortable again. And yet the way of the kingdom is we walk by faith, not by sight. And there is a certainty, but it's not a certainty in our circumstance. And it's not a certainty for all the planners in the room where we have all the plan and we see all the details, everything in advance. Sometimes we don't. Our certainty is in the character and the nature of God. Our certainty is that God, you're good, and that God, you're faithful, and you led us to this point, and you're going to lead us forward, and you're good. And you're powerful, and you're the one that goes before me, and my certainty is there. Don't put your certainty in any man. If we put our certainty in the Lord, yes, we all play our role, but God's like, keep your eyes on me, because I'm building my church. That's what Jesus said. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And we all play our place, but this is a safe place to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Alec Vidler said this about the Holy Spirit, the sweet, gentle Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to disturb a man or an institution that is becoming settled or stiff. Because we want to play it safe so many times, and God says, but I'm not into safe. And we've been here a little too long, and I'm doing something fresh, and I'm doing something new. And if you want to stick with me, then you got to follow me, and I'm going to disrupt everything so that you continue to follow me into the great unknown. That's always been the journey of faith. It always has. And so you get used to being confident in what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing in a season. And our confidence is we know we're in the right place. We know we're doing the right thing. Your leaders have prayed and fasted. Your elders, counsel. Undeniable. Everybody says the right thing in 3 months is that Pastor Jimmy gets the baton and leads the church. There's no question. That's the word of the Lord. Well, what does it look like beyond that? And it's like, we don't necessarily know. See in part and we know in part. But the same thing that brought the church to this point is the same thing that's going to walk the church into the future. I want to look at a second example, and it's the example of Elijah and Elisha in the scripture. And I think as we look at this, you're going to see why the enemy wars against a good repositioning, a good leadership succession, because of the blessing that's released when it's done right. In fact, most church succession does not happen in a healthy way. If you read the books and you look at all the studies, the vast majority of them don't go well. And I do not believe that's going to happen in this case. I believe it's going to be continue to be full of so much honor and so much blessing. 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they'd crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, who was his young servant, who washed the hands of the prophet, who served him, who was being trained and equipped by him. He turns to him and he says, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you. Because my leg of the journey is about to be done, and you're going to take the baton moving forward. There's a new season coming, so what can be done for you? And Elisha replied, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Oh, you've asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. If you finish it, if you finish the race, if you do it well, if you're right with me right to the end, it will be yours. Verse 11, as they were walking and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. What a way to go. I'm like, if there's a way to go to die, I want to go like that. Chariot of fire, sign me up. Elisha saw this and cried out. Notice the words here. Not my leader, my leader. Not my pastor, my pastor. My father, my father. That's the relation. My father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more, and he took off his garment and he tore it in two. He began to grieve at the loss. But then, verse 13, Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen. And he went back and he stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the same cloak that Elijah had, that same mantle, that same anointing. He picked it up. He went back to the river. He took the cloak and he struck the water with it. Now notice his prayer. Where now is the Lord God of Elijah? He asked. And he struck the water and divided it to the right and the left, and he crossed over. What, God be with me like you were with Elijah. This is what he was saying to Joshua. Be with me as you were with Moses. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the presence of God. I believe it was God who put the desire inside of Elisha for a double portion. I don't think it was selfish ambition. I think he was connecting to, like, God, you always outdo yourself. You never go backwards. You never decrease in quality. You never do less than you did before. God is always outdoing himself. The Bible says that he takes us from grace to grace. One season of grace to another season of grace. And you're in a season right now, but the next season is better because there's more grace than there was in the season before. It says he takes us from strength to strength. And if you feel like you've got strength now, I'm telling you, God says there's better strength, bigger strength for the future ahead. And it says he takes us from glory to glory, from one encounter, from one experience to another experience to another experience. It's always increasing. And his desire was not that Elijah would be the epitome of everything that would happen. No, that a double portion would come upon Elisha to do even more for the kingdom of God. And when you read the scripture, it's wild because Elisha did exactly two times the number of recorded miracles as his father did. And that's no indictment against Elijah. That is the generational blessing that comes. That's what hell fears. A true son and father walking together and the passing of a baton and the blessing that comes with that. And the blessing is always increase. And if you can make it happen in a horrible way, then the blessing doesn't get to be released. The double portion anointing doesn't get to be released. But I believe what God is saying, absolutely, that Pastor Jimmy, he gets a double portion anointing as a son of this house because he has served Pastor Doug and Lois well. But the whole church equally gets a double portion anointing because you have all served your pastors. You've all been a part of the vision. You've all been building. You've all been laboring. I don't care if you've been here 2 years, 2 months, or 20 years. You've been on the journey. You've been serving. You've been contributing. And this is what hell fears, is when it's done right, there is a blessing from God that comes down on a congregation and everything levels up. Everything begins to double. Just double it. I found it interesting in communion today. I've only ever, like, we do prepackaged communion cups, right? They're already, and then they're horrible to even get into, right? Yeah. And anytime I've been in a service, there's always one cup and then you grab a piece of bread. But I noticed there was two cups, one for the bread and one for the wine. And I thought, two cups, double it, Lord, double the anointing, double the power and the presence of the Lord. I just love that. I'm like, God, you are speaking. There is a double portion coming upon Harbor City. Every single one of you, your kids workers, your youth team, your worship team, your elders, your finance people, like everybody gets to level up in this season. It's the favor and the blessing of the Lord. There is an increasing weight of the glory of the Lord that will rest upon your church. And as I can attest, it has been about a year since we did transition. And there has been so much momentum, so much growth, so much life change, more than we've experienced, I think, in any other season. And people say, why? Yeah. And we say, because of the blessing of what the Lord has done. Yeah. I love this. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. In this place, I'll grant peace, declares the Lord. And what he's speaking about Solomon's temple. There had never been a building as magnificent as Solomon's temple ever in the earth. It was so grandiose and so beautiful that the Queen of Sheba traveled a massive distance just to come and see what Solomon had built. There was nothing like it in the earth. And it got destroyed. And God was prophesying to the people who were going to rebuild it. And it's interesting. He said, you're going to rebuild it, but it's going to have more glory than the one had before, because I'm going to outdo myself. The glory of this season is going to be greater than the glory of the past season. And that is the generational blessing that happens with the Lord. And that is the greatest testament to anyone's leadership, is to see the next generation take it even further. That's the exclamation point. Well done, my faithful servant. That's the well done of heaven. And that's the heart of a good father. Any good father or mother wants their children to take it further. 2008, the Olympics, Usain Bolt in the 100 meter, not only wins the gold, but sets a new world record, 9.69 seconds. And he takes home the gold. A year later, he would beat his own world record with what is still the world record for the 100 meter race. And it was pretty phenomenal to see him accomplish that. But in those same Olympics, there were actually 24 other men who ran the 100 meter faster than Usain Bolt. In the 4x100 race, there were 8 men's finalist teams. And every single one of those teams, the second runner, the third runner, and the fourth runner in all 8 teams all ran faster than Usain Bolt. And the reason is because they got the baton at full stride. They were already running and moving and had momentum, and they got the baton. And that's what we're talking about. They didn't have to start from a dead stop. No, but somebody does. And I think that generation, there's something so specific and special about the pioneers, about those who launch it and do it. But as a next generation leader, I got handed the baton while our church already had tons of momentum and tons of growth. And that's the generational blessing we're talking about. That's the double portion. That's the increase that's coming on every single one of us. I had so many people during that season, and even on November 12th, come up to me and look me in the eyes and said, Pastor Trevor, you're going to do so well. They're encouraging me. You're going to do so well. We believe in you. You're going to do so well. And every time someone said that, I didn't even pause. I looked them back right in the face, and I said, you mean we are going to do real well? Because I know they were trying to be encouraging, but I'm like, if by that you mean that the weight and the responsibility of everything rests on me, it doesn't, because Jesus said, I'm building my church, and the government is resting on Jesus' shoulders. And I will play, what I was saying to all our people is, I'm gonna play my role, and I will do it, and I will swing for the fences, and I will have all my faith, but that is just one part of it. We are gonna do well, because last time I checked, we are a church, and we are a body, and this is not about an individual. This is about everybody playing their part and their role. You have a gift, you have an anointing, you have dreams in your heart that mix with the dream of that God has for this house. Everyone is a member of the body, and everyone doing his part and doing his work makes a very healthy body. I'm telling you, the anointing that's coming on this church in this next season needs to be shouldered by everybody. And the success of this next season does not rest on Pastor Jimmy and Jess. Not alone, it sure doesn't. It rests on everybody's shoulder. I told our people on day one, I'm like, we are redistributing all the weight of this to everybody in the church. If this is your church and this is your home, then you are building and you are laboring. And I want, we're gonna ride in on all of our prayers and all of our work and all of our effort. And if you've been serving, serve all the more. If you've been giving, give all the more. If you've been sitting idle on some things that are inside of you, it's like, this is the season for God to breathe that you would go further. This is not the season to sit back and watch and just say, I wonder how the young man will dance and sing for us. I wonder how he will be. That's not fair to anybody. Jesus is building his church. Where are our eyes? Yes, we honor one another, absolutely. But our eyes are always fixed on the Lord. And he never disappoints. And when leadership decisions are made by the presence of the Lord, anybody, ourselves included, cannot like them. There are things that God will tell me that I don't like. But last time I checked, he wasn't asking for my opinion. And he wants me to line up with what he likes and to do it. And so if I bring something to the people and God's in it and people don't like it, I don't take it personally. I'm like, you don't like what God is saying. We all got to adjust to that. Every single one of us. I'm telling you, Harbor City Church, the future is so bright. And I don't know everything you're going to walk into, but I do know one thing that's on the horizon that you're going to see. You are going to see the greatest number of people come to Christ that this church has ever seen. Because that is what God is doing in the earth. The greatest harvest of souls is happening worldwide right now, and it's only going to increase. And there's a lot of unpredictability about what's going on in the nation and the economy and all types of things, and maybe even all the things that are in the heart of God for this church when we go out 5 years or 10 years. But here's what we do know. You have been faithful, you'll continue to be faithful, and God, we're all in. Can you stand with me? Can you feel that? That sense of, there's something new. There's something fresh. It's the blessing of God that comes because you're walking this out well. So, Father, I thank you for this church. God, we honor Pastor Doug and Lois. We honor their leadership. We honor the pioneering. We honor all the years that they have built and labored and contributed and will continue to pour in of themselves in a different way, but in the next coming season. God, we honor that. We honor what has come before. We honor where we are today, where this church exists. And God, in anticipation, we honor what you're about to do. And God, we ask for that increase upon every person in this room, an increase of faith, an increase of grace, an increase of vision, an increase of God encounters, an increase, that God, that you breathe upon, I pray, breathe upon the giftings and the callings on every single person that calls Harbor City Church home in this season, in Jesus' name. Quicken and awaken everything in this church. I pray for prophetic eyes to see, for ears to hear, and I pray for a new sense of God, we are all in for what you're doing in this season. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Amen.
I think we've heard from the Lord today, don't you? I love the way God loves his church so much that he always sends the right person at the right time to speak to all of us. And I believe that just like he said, we're going to keep our eyes on the prize and we're going to keep our eyes on the right place. Never put your eyes on a person, always on Jesus Christ. And I believe we're going to receive that double portion. You guys have heard me say many times, I've always believed that we're going to have a church of 1,000 people in this area. And I'm talking about this church. I know other churches are going to do great too, but we're going to reach that 1,000 mark. Amen. And I believe it's going to come under Pastor Jimmy and all of you. But I'm going to be here to get my mountain, I'm telling you. I'm not leaving, I'm just repositioning, all right? And so God has brought us to this point, and he's here to encourage you today. Keep on doing the race. Keep running the race. Okay, every head bowed, every eye closed. We always believe everybody should get an opportunity to come to know Christ. If you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe at one time you did, but you've just not been serving God, today you're a prodigal and you want to come home, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to make a commitment to Jesus. It takes faith to do that, but if I'm talking to you, you know who you are. So right now, just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Anyone like that? Raise them high so I can see. Don't hold back. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone today. That's all right. God's good, but there might be someone online. So there's one back over here. Okay, that's great. Let's pray our prayer together. No one prays alone. And if you're online, let's pray it as well. Say this with me. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die in my place. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins, all my mistakes, and all my failures. Come into my life and be my Savior, my Lord, my boss, my friend, and my King. And by your grace and by your power, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give these folks a big hand. If you gave your life to the Lord online, make sure you put it in the chat side there so we know how to help you. And if you gave your life to the Lord today, sign up for water baptism and get a fresh start. Otherwise, if I can have the prayer team come forward, this is your time to get some prayer. Whatever you need prayer for, sickness, family, jobs, finances, whatever it might be. Let's pray or let's worship and get some prayer.